today on Real Radio.
What the church needs today is spirit-filled, oil-filled, if I can put it that way, believers. Believers who are on fire and fearless and could care less about the opinions of the world. That they only care about the opinion of one, and that is the Master in whom is coming.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack in a special episode called What's the Big Deal About Bible Prophecy? This message was designed by Pastor Jack for the 2019 Proximity Conference on Bible Prophecy. It challenges us to consider the relevance of current global issues and events in light of Bible prophecy. The Bible is God's revelation to mankind to teach us about the events of history and how we can learn from them. The Bible also encourages us to find out what we're supposed to do now as it brings to light God's desired end for the future. Prophecy never came to us by the will of man, but through holy men that God spoke to as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus didn't come to earth to destroy the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them. So today, Pastor Jack tells us that the Bible is the only prophetic book there is because, as we find in the book of Genesis, the Bible is the first to speak of our existence. The Bible also was the first to confirm New Testament revelation through the pages of Old Testament theology. And the Bible is the first to promise a Savior who is God's Son, Jesus Christ. And now, in this special episode called What's the Big Deal About Bible Prophecy, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Father, we pray right now, Lord, that you prepare our hearts to wrap all this up. A lot of information, a lot of scripture, a lot to consider. We also pray, Father, that you would anoint this sound system. I'm convinced it's why, Jesus, you didn't use it. But Lord, this is all we have. So we ask you, Father, to multiply the hearing of this. And we ask you now for your presence. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. So you can be seated. And I set my timer, and I'm going to be faithful to my time. So when the alarm goes off, and it will go off if I got this set right, I'm going to want you to be thinking about how in the next 60 minutes, will it matter to you? Will you have been brought any closer to the kingdom of God? Now, look, I don't want to neglect the fact that even though this is a prophecy conference, there may be some of you that are here today. You don't know Jesus. Maybe you were invited by someone. What's the reality of all this? You know, for most of us who have been raised in Bible prophecy, everything we heard today, we just nod and like, write that down. Oh yeah, I remember that. And hey, that's a great insight on that, right? Some of you may be here today and you're not exactly sure what you're hearing. It may be that some of you are here today and it's like, what planet have I been on for the last few hours? And it's my desire, it's our desire that every one of us who are hearing these things experience exactly what Amir was talking about, and that is your entrance into the kingdom of heaven. And so I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 25. I love the fact I'm going to read this parable that Jesus gave, Matthew 25. None of the speakers have compared notes today. And I have to say that in light of what Amir just said a moment ago. And the brother usher leaned over and said, that's confirmation to you, Pastor Jack. And it is. And that means it's confirmation to us. Matthew chapter 25. Jesus is speaking, verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven will be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. Verse 6. And at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out and meet him. Then those 10 virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered and said, no, lest there should be not enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in. Mark that, church, please. Those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. And afterward, other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said to them, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Now, notice what the determinant factor is. Verse 13, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. The prerequisite for those getting into the kingdom is that they were watching at the critical hour. They had maintained their personal lives and relationships with Christ, with the Master, so that they had enough oil. Oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, a life that is driven by the Word of God because the Holy Spirit dwells within you. Listen, the last thing the church needs today is another theologian. What the church needs today is Spirit-filled, oil-filled, if I can put it that way, believers. Believers who are on fire and fearless and could care less about the opinions of the world. That they only care about the opinion of one, and that is the Master in whom is coming. And we are to be ready. So today we're going to be ending this conference with what I'm entitling, What's the Big Deal About Bible Prophecy? What about all this stuff that we've heard? And so by way of preparation, we're going to go through three things today. It's going to feel like 10, but it'll only be three things. But in preparation for that, I'm going to ask you to hold up your Bible. Can you hold your Bible up high, please? By the way, this is a photo op moment. Hold your Bible up high. Some of you have your electronic devices. That's fine, but go out and buy a real leather Bible. But that's okay. It's all right. It's just awesome to have. This Bible that you're holding in your hand is unlike any other book in the history of mankind. You need to know that. The Bible of itself, listen, because I'm thinking with critic in the audience today. The Bible says of itself in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. You might say, well, that's meaningless because the Bible says it of itself. No, I'd ask you to take notice of that. The Bible says of itself that it is inspired by God. That means you can test it. Secondly, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, says the scripture, which you do well to take heed to as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That's your Bible. You just held up the greatest communication that has ever given to mankind. It's not Facebook, it's not Twitter, it's not Instagram, it's not email, it's not the internet, it's the Bible. It's the Bible. No matter what technology ever brings, it will not be the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. It has endured throughout the ages. It shall endure. It will never go away. It will only be fulfilled, Jesus promised. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. And I love this. Listen, any of you have young kids in college or seminary, listen up. Because a lot of schools these days are teaching your kids in Christian seminaries that we don't need to hear from the Old Testament anymore. Jan mentioned about that. I was talking to Dr. Ed Heinzen of Liberty University earlier this week, and he said it's true. They're dealing with kids coming to Liberty from churches, and they don't believe in the Old Testament. Let's remember what Jesus had when he preached. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law and the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle, that is one comma for us or one hyphen for us, will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled." Church family, Genesis to Malachi is ordained and inspired by God. It is the entire Word of God. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 1, that which was from the beginning. Listen to what John says. I love this. That which was from the beginning, that means when the beginning happened, this one was there. Which we have heard, John is saying, we heard him talk. That which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. Can you imagine touching Jesus? Someday you will. Concerning the word of life, and that life was manifested. That God was revealed in this world in the person of Jesus Christ, God in flesh. Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. This is introduction. Are you taking notes? I hope you're writing this down. Revelation chapter 1, verse 10 says, "For the testimony of Jesus, that is his word, is the spirit of prophecy." Bible prophecy, the word of God going forth. And so today is obviously a day regarding that parable that we cannot unpack that parable of the 10 virgins in the brief time that we have together. That would take weeks because it is so convicting and so important. But I would say this, that the very point of the parable is, I believe, the closeout of this conference. And that is, why are all the things that we've listened to today relevant in my life? How could these things matter to me? And I want to argue with you today, number one, that they do matter for this reason. Point number one today is that the Bible is the only prophetic book there is. Period. I'm not being mean by saying this. I'm not being dogmatic. I'm not being myopic. I'm announcing to you that of all the religious writings of all the world, of all time, there's only one prophetic book that man has available to him, and that is the Bible. You may be here today, or you may be watching right now from an Islamic nation, and you're saying, "No, no, no, we have the Quran." No, 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 you do not. The Quran is a book of copies. The Quran came much later. Islam is relatively new. The authorship of the Quran, whatever prophetic claims they pretend to have, are those that are vaguely lifted from the Bible and changed. There's no origin of prophetic eschatological truth in the Quran. What about the Book of Mormon? Great, Mormon people are wonderful. I love them. They're wonderful people. By the way, if we worked as hard as Mormons do, I think we'd be out of here a lot sooner. We could hasten the day of the Lord's return by getting busy, but the bummer is the Mormons have got the wrong Jesus, and I love my Mormon friends, but their Jesus is one of many gods, and the Book of Mormon has no prophecies. And you can go down the list of Hinduism, Buddhism, you can go to the Tibetan Book of the Dead, you can go to all of these things. In fact, isn't it interesting, we just came to the closeout of a year and the embracing of a new year, and every year the soothsayers and the charlatans have got their New Year's Day predictions. Everybody's interested in the future, but nobody turns to the Bible. Isn't that weird? That goes to show you that there's a hunger for prophetic things, but people don't want the Bible because that's a little bit too deep. I'm afraid that God might require something of me. Oh, he does. He requires that you and I follow him, and that we give our lives to him, and that we be busy about our Father's business, and that we be making the word of God preeminent more than anything else in our lives. And that the world out there would be beating down the door to get into our churches instead of the churches trying to make themselves look more like the world. We've got the best message in town, ladies and gentlemen. It doesn't get any better than this. And we don't have to apologize for it. We just ought to use it. The Bible's prophetic. The only book in the world. How so? Number one, the Bible's the first book to speak. It's the Bible. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 1, for example, verse 1, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in the times past to the fathers, I love that, by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. By the way, you know, when Jesus is the last revelation of God, that means you don't need to run to some prophet down the street to hear the next word from somebody. I'm sorry, am I stepping on some toes? Listen up carefully. God spoke finally through his Son, Jesus. That's why the book of Revelation's at the end of your Bible. That's why the one who has the last say is Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation. There's a reason why that book is at the end of your Bible. And you read those letters in red, and then you read Revelation chapter 21 and 22. Jesus has the last word. And that's a fact. And you need to remember that. God has spoken to us. The Bible speaks first. And the Bible again says in Genesis 1:1, we saw it a moment ago, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I love that. God just flat out, it's a mic drop. God walks out onto the scene and says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Boom, drops the mic, walks off the stage. You want to know why? Listen, God spoke. You get past Genesis 1, everything in the Bible's downhill. So we've heard about the rapture. The rapture, that's so mysterious. Genesis 1:1. Get over that one. Everything else is easy. I'm serious. Well, how's God going to raise the dead? Listen, I don't know. By his power, for sure. But I'm good after Genesis 1:1. God can do anything he wants. Well, how many days was it? Who cares? Well, was it literal days? Was it 24 hours? Who cares? My God is so awesome, he can do it in 24 nanoseconds. It doesn't matter. He says it, he does it. How big is your God? How big is your God? Sounds like the Bee Gees should sing that one. How big is your God? How big is your God? Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. Genesis 2:16 says, the Lord God commanded that man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Not only does surely die, but Adam and Eve, everybody dies. Everybody dies. Why? God said it. And I want to ask you right now, even if you're an atheist right now and you're here, is man dying? Amir so well said a moment ago, look at a picture of yourself 20 years ago. I don't have to look at a picture of myself 20 years ago. All I have to do, or what I did this morning, was try to get out of bed. And I'm aged. But as a believer, I'm excited. I put more cologne on this morning. It used to be where I used to do 2 pumps. This morning was 5 pumps. Why? I am dying. I'm dying. It takes more to cover up this stink. Why is it true? Listen, atheists, think about it. Second law of thermodynamics. Entropy. We're dying. Everything's going from order to chaos. That's the law of science, and God said it in Genesis. Everything's perfect. You eat this fruit. It's not the fruit, by the way. You know it's not the fruit. It's Apple computer. You know Apple with a bite in it? We don't know if it was an apple. It's so tempting. It had to be tempting. We're from California. It had to be an avocado. Can you say no to an avocado? It's not the fruit. It's that they disobeyed God. God wanted a real meaningful relationship with them. Well, why would God set them up to fall? He didn't set them up to fall. Because God does not create robots. He created Adam and Eve with moral agency. They could pick and choose. By the way, listen, if you're not a believer, you love the fact that you can pick and choose. That's how you have a relationship. If anybody's in a relationship with you and you don't give them the chance to choose, you're a weirdo. You want a real relationship where there's an exchange of feelings and dialogue and relationship. It's vitally important. God did that. And I'm just going to submit to you, God spoke and the evidence is overwhelming. Just be intellectually honest enough to face the music. God's the creator. You were created in the image of God. And as a believer, I should be excited about getting to heaven. I can't believe, I'm sorry. Look, I can be a little bit extra bold. This is not my church. I'm leaving in a minute. I don't understand a Christian who says, I don't believe Jesus could come back soon. Wait a minute. It's in the Bible. Yeah, that's your interpretation. Okay, listen, pause. Do you want him to come back any moment? Yes. You know why? The Holy Spirit in you says, come, Lord Jesus. If you're a Christian, you're saying, my Lord delays his return. Why would you say that? That's weird. Even if you think Jesus is going to rapture you at the end of the tribulation period, which is really weird. Why? For what purpose? Even if you think that, that's okay. You can think that. Here's the deal. Wouldn't you want him to come back right now? Yes. Now, Amir was talking about Jesus coming back soon, and I've never had a problem with that, but next week's my birthday, and I just found out for my birthday, this wonderful gentleman in our church bought me you know what it's called? It's called the Porsche Experience. Have you ever heard of that? I am going to go to Porsche and I get to pick the car and drive it on a racetrack. So now I know the Lord will not be back until after January 15th. I'm joking, of course. The only thing better is the rapture. God speaks. Did not God say from the Bible prophetically, this is a prophetic statement, and I will put enmity, warfare, he's speaking to Satan in the garden, between you and the woman, and between your seed, Satan has offspring, think of that, and her seed, capital S, that means Eve is going to have an offspring that is going to be, he'll be the Savior, who will bruise your head and you will bruise his, he will bruise your heel, but you will bruise or crush his head. That is a prophetic statement, church. Amen. Of your salvation, it is a prophetic announcement. The Bible speaks first. No other book in the world is like this. Secondly, the Bible is a prophetic book because the Bible is the first to corroborate A good Muslim will tell you, that's why we don't believe in the Bible. 66 books, 40 different authors, that's crazy. They claim we have one author. They actually don't. That's soon to be revealed. Your friend's Muslim world's about to be rocked, ladies and gentlemen. They have discovered from the horrific events of ISIS in the Middle East, you know, God brings good stuff out of bad stuff. Archaeological evidence has now brought forth, by the way, those things are now in the United States under lock and key being researched. The most original copies of the Quran written by four different men 200 years after the death of Muhammad, and it's dated. And that news is coming out and it's going to shock the Muslim world. You better get ready to give your Muslim friends the gospel. You better get ready to give your Muslim friends the gospel. The Bible corroborates from Genesis to Revelation. Seamless. Oh, it's so seamless. Amir, listen to this. Where are you? Did you leave? Where are you? Are you right here? Listen to this. Look, you know, the menorah that you hand carried from Israel to our church, that's in our foyer, yeah? We had this big menorah. At Christmas service, there was a couple from our church, and they brought a Jewish couple. And they said hi to me, and the Christian couple said, boy, everything you said, and I just really nailed the two of them. They're Jews. And I said, wow, okay. So we started talking, very, very nice man. And I said, oh, how do you like our menorah? He goes, ha, ha, that's not a menorah. You're a Gentile. I knew that's ridiculous. I said, it is a menorah. He said, no, menorah's got nine stems on it. I said, no, it doesn't. He said, yes, it does. I said, no, it doesn't. And look, he's Jewish. Yes, it does. No, it doesn't. Yes, it does. It's fantastic. And you know what he said? He said, no, the menorah is nine. I said, that's funny because God gave to Moses in Exodus and Leviticus that it's seven. And he said, you mean Friday menorah? That's what he called it, a Friday menorah. I said, yes, a Friday menorah. Hanukkah's the nine. Seven is the one in the Bible. So what's my point to this? That from Genesis to Revelation, you could read Genesis to Malachi if you're Jewish, skip all the New Testament and read Revelation, it'll make sense to you. Because the menorah that's in the Old Testament, you find the menorah again in the New Testament, book of Revelation. You find the tree of life in the beginning, you find the tree of life at the end. Over and over, it's corroborating evidence given by God. 66 books by 40 authors by one origin. God himself. And over that course of time, some of these guys living on separate continents and other realms under other kingdoms, nearly a 2,000 year period, and they all agree. Evidence, overwhelming, corroborating evidence. The Bible says in Isaiah says 46 verse 9 and 10, for I am God, there is no other God. I am God, there is none like me. That's your God. Verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a special episode called, What's the Big Deal About Bible Prophecy? Thanks for listening. And if you keep your faith in God and trust in His Word, you'll also keep your hope in Christ, keep fellowshipping with other believers, and be a witness to the world of His saving power through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. If you're interested in hearing more about Bible prophecy, Pastor Jack has a YouTube channel that you can subscribe to. It's called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Here's some of the video titles. Get Ready, God's Prophetic Pulpit. We've also got the Happening Now series from his Facebook Live episodes and a whole lot more. And of course, Pastor Jack has special interviews and events videos to keep you up to date on what's happening both in this world and in our culture today. We've got new videos uploaded each week, so don't forget to click on notifications to get the latest videos that Pastor Jack wants to share with you. You can access Pastor Jack's YouTube channel through the YouTube app or at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.